Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And Christianity today, in the establishment Christianity, has gone far from the truth of God. And now we're confronted with many difficult problems that we see around us. Why is it happening?
Loving Creator, Holy One, and Diva of the world,
we want to make sure that everyone knows that all are welcome here.
Pride isn't a place. It's a feeling of being proud. The pride flag represents being proud of who you are.
I am thrilled beyond thrilled to be presenting to you local drag legends.
Radical genderism.
In Christ, God cast aside the binaries of heaven and earth, spirit and body, God and human. And where the question was A or B, God answered yes. Whether through hormones, surgeries, names, pronouns, or all of the above, we reveal the image of this binary-breaking God. Like God, we traverse and transcend constructed categories that were never made to hold us. My transgender siblings in Christ, go forth and be visible. Let your light shine.
And we will see that is contrary to everything in the Word of God, New Testament and Old Testament. So let's begin with what God has done. Let's first of all come to the Gospel of John, the very first chapter. And the first few verses here are very important, because too many people like to cut off the Old Testament from the New Testament and say, well, we don't have to bother with anything in the Old Testament. Well, we'll see. That's not true. What's important here in John, the first chapter, is this. Let's read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that's the one who became Jesus Christ. Now notice, he was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through him. The one who became Jesus Christ is the Lord God of the Old Testament, who created man and woman, male and female. Not even one thing that was created came into being without him. There can be no such thing as evolution. And radical genderism today says, well, we're going to help evolution along with all of these operations.
Today I'm having top surgery.
Oh man, this is tight.
YouTube has many testimonials from female to male transgenders who wear chest binders to make their physiques look more male. In the end, there will be a scar along the line of the pectoral muscle, a transformation Skylar is convinced will help make him who he truly is.
It's really, really hard to look in the mirror and see something that doesn't conform to how your brain or how you think you are.
Dr. Kylo said he will do about 50 of these surgeries this year.
Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, no one has existence without first being created by Jesus Christ. And all the philosophers in the world, the great ones from the Greek cultures, and how absolutely incredible are the philosophies of men. And people look at that as the greatest thing that has ever happened. Oh, what thinkers, oh, what philosophers. But, as we will see, they are the ones who gave us all this trouble we're in. And most people don't realize it. Now, the Apostle Paul had an encounter with the leading brains in Athens at Mars Hill when he was preaching in Athens. And he would go there and he would explain to them about the truth of the gospel. So let's come to Acts 17. Now, they wanted to hear what Paul was saying. So they took him up to the gathering where the great minds of that time, who believed in all of the gods, who believed in all of the philosophies and the teachings of men. And all of these philosophies were without the knowledge of the true God. So they brought him to Mars Hill, verse 19, and they took him and brought him to Mars Hill, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that is spoken by you? For you are bringing strange things to our ears." Now that happens today as well. Because establishment Christianity, which should really be named false or fake Christianity, they don't believe the things that are written in the Old Testament except those verses which say tithe. Huh. I wonder why they like those. I'll let you think on that. They continued, "So then we desire to know what these things are. Now all the Athenians and strangers sojourning among them spent their leisure in nothing other than to tell and to hear something new." Well, that's still always true with human beings, right? And isn't that true today? And radical genderism is something new.
Our kids, Caden and Zyler, are 3.5 years old, and we're raising them using they, them, their gender-neutral pronouns so that they can decide for themselves when, if, and how they want to identify as a gender.
And we will see where that comes from. So then Paul stood in the center of Mars Hill and said, "Men, Athenians, I perceive that in all things you are very reverent to deities. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your veneration, I also found an altar on which was inscribed, 'To the unknown God.'" They had no knowledge of the true God. So Paul came to tell them, this unknown God is the one I preach. "So then, he whom you worship in ignorance is the one that I proclaim to you. He is the God who made the world and all things that are in it." Now, didn't we just read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that one was Jesus Christ? "Being the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by the hands of men as though he needs anything, for he gives life and breath and all things. And he has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell upon all the face of the earth, having determined beforehand their appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling." So God is the one who has done that. And we find back in Isaiah 40 that all the nations of the earth compared to God are like a drop in a bucket. So we need to understand the greatness and the marvelous things of God. Now notice, verse 27. in order that they might seek the Lord. Now that's what God wants. Are you seeking God, the true God, the God of the Bible, the God which proclaims His word and His commandments and His love and His correction and His punishment for sin, as well as forgiveness for sin? Is that the one you're seeking? Well, too many people think that in these days of troubles and difficulty, that now, if they just profess the name of Jesus, they're going to be happy and joyous. Well, doesn't work that way. Let's read on. If perhaps they might feel after him and might find him, though truly he is not far from each one of us. Well, think about that for a minute. How close is God to every single human being on earth? Whether they know him or not. Let's read it. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of the poets among you also have said, for we are his offspring. Yes, indeed. Christ is the one who did the creating. Now, before we get into radical genderism, let's come all the way back to the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. And many things that there are in the Bible come right back to the first part of the book of Genesis. That's why we need to understand the Old Testament as it's called. But it's not old. It's eternal. Now, the covenant that God made with Israel have been replaced with a higher covenant of Jesus Christ. And that's another whole subject. But let's get back to the creation of man and woman. And let's see what God has said. And then we'll talk about all of the scientific evidence that we have today about sex, male and female. Oh, they don't like those words today. They're trying to get people to change how they speak of man and woman and he and she.
His, hers, them and theirs, learning pronouns with the bears. That is this amazing book. Basically, so Canadians can start having conversations about pronouns in a way that feels easier.
As part of Transgender Awareness Week, transgender author Nick North has teamed up with Kraft Peanut Butter to create a limited edition children's book with the hope of inspiring parents to speak to their children about pronouns.
Pronouns are our words we use to tell the world who we are and how we want to be spoken about or to.
The book reflects Nick's own life experiences.
But his heart hurt so much to never be seen. People didn't get him. They weren't trying to be mean.
The books are aimed at younger kids.
Learning their gender, they're identifying themselves as early as three. And so when you're 3 years old, you start to figure out who you are, you need to have the words to do that.
Kraft said in a statement that they aim to contribute to a more inclusive, accepting space, educating the next generation to stick together.
And that is all nothing but a bunch of satanic confusion. So get that in your head right away. Now then, God says, Genesis 1, verse 26, let us make man, that means all of mankind, in our image, after our likeness. Every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. And also, he's given us minds, he's given us free moral agency, and he commands us to choose. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. Now, that's quite a blessing, isn't it? God has given the whole world to all of mankind. But he's given us free moral agency. So he wants to know, what are we doing with our free moral agency? Are we choosing God and his way? Or are we choosing some other way? And we will see what that leads to in a little bit. Verse 27, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. He created them male and female. Right there in the beginning. And God made it so. Now notice what else God said. And he blessed them. He wanted them to have blessing. But see, with free moral agency, they could choose. And we know they chose the wrong way. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. It was so. Now then we come to chapter 2. Let's understand something. And here is what is the greatest violation of fake Christianity today. Right here. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them, and by the beginning of the seventh day, God finished his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That means he made it holy. Now, if God makes something holy, men, when they reject it, cannot recreate Sunday as holy. It's an impossible thing for them to do. And this also is the cause as to why we have ended up with radical genderism. Verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it in dying, you shall surely die. Then he made Eve. Then there was the first wedding ceremony performed by God for Adam and for Eve. Now, verse 23, he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, here is a lesson in true sex and true gender from God in the book of Genesis with the first man and the first woman. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's what God wants. That is a marriage, male and female, producing children, and the children are the true product of becoming one flesh. Because every child has the genes from father and mother. Now think about this for a minute, how great that is, okay? God created all the genes and chromosomes as we know them today. And we know that at conception, boom, there is a new life. And that life takes 9 months to develop in the womb of its mother. And that life is formed in the womb by God, through the power of the genes and chromosomes. Now then, there are only two sexes, male and female. There aren't any others.
Well, this is one of the problems with this left-wing gender ideology, is that no one who espouses it can even tell you what these words mean. Like, what is a woman? Well, can you tell me what a woman is?
No, I can't. Because it's not for me to say. Womanhood looks different for everybody.
What do you define a woman as?
An adult human female.
And what does a female mean?
How do you
define a female?
Someone with female reproductive organs.
Okay.
Someone who's, here's the thing. When you're female, it goes right down to your bones, your DNA. So that's why if someone dies, we could dig up their bones 100 years from now. We have no idea what they believed in their head, but we can tell what sex they were because it's ingrained in every fiber of their being.
Now, you find that all the way through the Bible. Now, let's look and see what God told the children of Israel. Let's come here to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Because too many of the fake Christianity ministers say that the law is a curse. No, the law is a blessing. However, there is a curse of the law, and they conflate that to mean the law is accursed. But that is a complete satanic lie. And that's the origin, the beginning of radical genderism, because then anybody could choose whatever they like. Let's go into Deuteronomy 6. And let's ask the question, if you keep the commandments of God, is that a curse? Now, the Bible calls breaking the commandments a curse, which also means a punishment. Now, people don't like the punishment when it comes, but are they willing to do the things that they need to so the punishment doesn't come? Deuteronomy 6. Now, these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach you so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess them, that you might fear the Lord your God. Now, you need to have love and you need to have fear. And if you have true love of God, which is we will see with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, then you will fear to disobey him because you know that the result of disobeying or transgressing the law is sin, and sin is going to be a punishment for breaking the laws of God. To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. God wants everyone to have long life. But look at what we have today. Life is being cut short. Why? Because of all the sins, all the drugs, all of the adultery and fornication and lying, stealing and cheating, and all the corruption in government and everything that goes on in people's lives. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be diligent to observe it, so that it may be well with you. Does that sound like a curse? Now, all of this is necessary so that when we get to radical genderism, we will understand how ungodly and how satanic and how against God that really is. And that you may greatly multiply as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Haven't we been living in a land flowing with milk and honey? Yes. Now, what are you going to do when the days are coming, which are? That we're going to have a shortage of food in this land of plenty. And that comes about because of sin, because of politicians and internationalists. Hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord. The Lord and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And that's what God wants. And with all your soul and with all your might. And Jesus said, that is the greatest commandment. So this agrees with the New Testament, correct? Yes, it does. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall diligently teach them to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the post of your house and your gates. Now, God wants them written in our hearts and in our minds. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. All right? This is what we need to know about what God created. Now then, in the next segment, we're going to talk about radical genderism and where it came from and what it is and what they are doing, and we will see it straight out of the cauldron of the teachings of Satan, the devil. Now you need our book, Lord, What Shall I Do? We are living in terrible and difficult times. And you need to know what you need to do. You have got to come to God His way. You don't come to God by a soft soap little prayer. You come to God by deep repentance. And that comes about when you get on your knees and confess your sins. And remember this, sin is the transgression of the law. And sin equals lawlessness, or anything that's against the law of God. And remember, John wrote, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, why do I go through all of this before we get to radical genderism? That is so you can understand why it has come upon us with many other things that are terrible and wretched and life-threatening, and fills our land with crime and sin and debauchery. So you need to get that book. Lord, What Should I Do? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying so long, everyone.